What's up, guys? What's going on? I'm Paul. This is Pauline Theology Daily Devotional, and with Trusting Jesus Ministries. Glad you're here. Glad you're listening. Glad you're studying daily with us as we go through the scriptures. We're in Genesis, and I hope you have been learning and growing from Genesis and the things that we've seen about God's character, which is his faithfulness, his trustworthiness, his sovereignty over all situations. And it's helping you to live with those things reminded in you that you can trust in him more, because that's what we do this for. So I appreciate you guys for listening. We are on the final step or the final part of the Judah Tamar episode, and we'll move back on to Joseph. So let's finish it up, guys. If you haven't read it, it is Genesis 38, 27 through 30. And stop the tape, check it out, see what you got, you know, see what it says. And then, we'll come back and we'll answer the four questions. If you have already read it, then we'll start answering them now. The first question is, what's going on? Well, we got the birth of two children, twins, man, twins. Tamar had twins by Judah. The twins, it's a weird situation. They was like, behold, twins. And whenever the first one stuck his arm out, man, she tied a red string around it, the handmaiden. Or the whatever they call that. But anyway, she tied a red string around his arm to say that this was the firstborn. And then boom, right whenever he put his hand back in to get ready to go, the other one came forth. He just piled out, man, just come through. And she was like, whoa, that's crazy. She was like, that brother just broke through like the walls. And in Hebrew, that's Perez. And so she named him Perez. And then after that, the one who had the string tied to him, he came out. And she named him Zerah. So that's what we got, just the birth of these two children. But there's a lot of implications that go on with this. And as we go through, what is this saying about God, man, an application, and I'll talk more about those implications. And so what's it say about God? And this is something you probably wouldn't be able to get from just reading it, because it doesn't say a whole lot. But I'm going to talk to the future about what's happening. And so what's this is saying about God, because the writers or the readers of this in its time understand what's happening as they've read it multiple times, you know. And so when they see this stuff, they know the implications of what's happening to the people and to the characters that surround themselves in all of these stories. And so this shows just the sovereignty of God. It shows that he is the chooser, the sovereign chooser and blesser of all people. You see, Tamar is blessed. We find later, and we see in the genealogy of Jesus, is that Tamar is part of that genealogy. And that's a surprise, because there's not many women who are in the genealogy. There's Rahab, Ruth, Tamar, and Mary and Bathsheba, but Bathsheba's not named. And so we see Tamar as part of that. And why, not super sure, but why she's a part of it, but she is. Some say it's because of maybe her, maybe it's because of her marriage. Something's going on with her marriage, like an illegitimacy of what's happening in it. She had to look and presume to be a prostitute in order to do what was required, her family was required to do. And so the scandal of that marriage and that type of situation kind of mirrors or mimics Mary. And so she relates to Mary in a way, and the union that she had in this scandalous way also is how the Savior came to the world. And so the scandal and the way in which a child had come into this world is kind of scandalous. And so it maybe mirrors Mary in that way, but we're not totally sure. But we do know that God chose sovereignly Tamar for this position, man. And she is part of a genealogy that is going to last forever. Her story is going to be told, and she has been called righteous. And so that's awesome that God has chose her to be that way. And he has blessed her too, that even though despite the things that her surroundings had tried to stop her from being able to carry out and produce, that God in his sovereignty still blessed her. We got a person who is just a mean dude, I guess, just evil. God took him out. We got a guy who's taking advantage of her, and so God took him out. And then the father doesn't want to give the one whom he's supposed to in order to fulfill the duties of his son and her husband. He don't want to do that, but still God blesses her and gives her a child, puts her in the genealogy, and her son becomes a father of Jesus. What's this say about man? It's just be subject to the will of God. And despite all of the stuff that's happening and going on and all that, it's amazing to see that she was able to humble herself in that way. And secondly, Perez. So Perez is the second born. He breached out. That brother just boop, popped on out right as his brother was coming out. But Perez is special because he is not the firstborn, yet he is the one to continue the line of the promise. He's the one to which Jesus bears his name from. It's not his brother Zerah. It's Perez. The second born has usurped the firstborn. And so we're all subject to the will of God. We're all subject to his sovereignty, despite having some kind of class or some kind of reputation or anything like that, because traditionally it should have been Zerah. According to the way that these patriarchal societies go, it's the firstborn who has all of the rights reserved. And it is not so this way. It seems like God, we go back to that, what's to say about God? Is God's the sovereign chooser, because it was Isaac, it was Jacob, and now it's Judah and not Reuben. We're going to find out later about that as well. And now it's Perez. So this is, which is Judah's son. And so this is weird. It's odd, but everybody is subject to the will of God. And so how can we apply these truths to our lives? How can we take an application from understanding the sovereign chosenness that God has and his blessedness that he gives upon us? And then that we are all subject to his will. Well, I think we should accept this sovereignty that God has, and then follow it, live in it. It's better to go with the grain than against it. It's a lot smoother and a lot easier for us. I mean, God's going to accomplish his will no matter what, and that happens. And like the story of Samson, and when he ends up getting locked up and busting down walls, his eyes burning out in order to destroy the Philistines. Well, God's will happened. It did, yes. He did what he was required to do. It said that he would destroy the Philistines, and or he would begin to overthrow the Philistines. And that's what he did. But he could have done it easier. He could have done it smoother. And so I think that is how we should apply these truths to our lives today, is to walk with God, because we recognize that he's sovereign and we're subject to his will. You see, Tamar, Judah, they were both subject to God's will. Tamar had to resort to some risque means because Judah didn't do what he was supposed to do. But in the end, the goal was accomplished. The seed was planted, and Jesus has come forth through it. Hey, I appreciate you guys for listening, and I hope you're ready to get back on to Joseph. I'll see you in the next episode.